those of us who were unable to join worship in this chapel last Wednesday missed a good meal. The meal in which Christ comes to us in his body and blood to assure us our salvation and our place in his kingdom. Those of us who were unable to come here Wednesday also missed a great sermon. Professor Haupt preached on Luke 6, verses 26 to 36. In fact, the text that is our basis for today's message was read to us Wednesday. But the Dean of Chapel assigned the preacher to preach on Luke 6. What is special about Luke 6 is, according to Professor Haupt, it gives us all these directions and it gives us a lot of do's and don'ts. In the 8 verses, Haupt counted 16 imperatives. That's a lot. Do not do this, do not do this. For example, love your enemies, a do thing. Do good to those who hate you, another do thing. Speak a blessing upon those who curse you, another do thing. Pray for those who mistreat you. These are do's that we need to be doing. There were so many undo's, which we will not get into today. If you missed chapel yesterday, you missed another sermon by Professor Dost. Dost was basing his meditation on Romans 12, verses 14 to 21. That also has a lot of do's and don'ts in it. For example, bless those who persecute you. Do not repay anything evil for evil. Do not take revenge. Overcome evil with good. What we read in today's appointed text is the life story of Joseph. In Joseph, all these do's and don'ts I see coming to a climax. Joseph is indeed the incarnation of all these virtues to do and all these vices to avoid. Joseph is the epitome of all these directions Scripture is pointing us to. So today we ponder a little bit on the life of Joseph. From those imperatives, I am suggesting for us to think on two indicatives pertaining to Joseph's life and our life. First one, Joseph was God's pilot project to establish his people as God's covenant people and to accomplish his purposes for the whole world. Joseph was God's pilot project. Secondly, the church in the USA today is God's grand experiment. The church of today in the 20th century USA is God's grand experiment. To do his will, to accomplish purposes, and to bring Christ to the people who are here, resident and also resident aliens. Joseph had been a pilot project for the people of Israel. The world knows Joseph as a dreamer, and his dream cost him much. At 16, he would be sent by his father to watch over and bring report about his siblings who would be shepherds out in the field, and Joseph would have a dream, and as he approaches the siblings, they say, here comes the dreamer. We know what the story is about, and the dream told, and when it was interpreted, the siblings were given the idea that Joseph was someday going to be the leader and ruling over them. The story did not end there. And they will put him in a cistern and later sell him to sojourners. And finally, Joseph will end up in Egypt, in the Pharaoh's land. Will also be put in prison for sins and mistakes that he did not commit or was unwilling to commit. He will again be in a prison. But Joseph's gift to interpreting dreams paid him well. Pharaoh would have a dream, and the prisoners will tell him, tell Pharaoh that there is Joseph who is an interpreter of dreams, and Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and it leads into the coming of the famine for 7 years and the way Egypt should be dealing with famine to preserve grain for them and the surrounding nations that will be hit by famine. Pharaoh would be convinced of this. And in Egypt, Joseph would become only second to the Pharaoh. In Joseph's own words, Joseph is now father and lord and ruler of Egypt. Story goes on, as we know. Famine hits the land, and Joseph's siblings, including his father, will have to come to Egypt and be subjected to their land, and that life there under Pharaoh will go on for generations. And if Pharaoh would come to Egypt to rule, pharaohs would come who would never have known Joseph. People there will be subjected to slavery and imprisonment for 400 plus years until Moses is raised up and he delivers the people from that kind of bondage. The church in the United States is God's experiment. They are, in a way, God's Joseph sent into this world to bring a word of freedom, restoration, acceptance, and love among people who are already immigrants in these United States. The Lord has placed His church in this country to be His agents of transformation. After all, this country is the land of immigrants. In the last 60 years, one-third of the United States population has migrated to this country from non-European lands. This is a nation of immigrants. I just saw that 35% of American Nobel Prize winners are from the first generation immigrants to the United States. We now have a factor to deal with. America may have been a Christian nation, but not necessarily so in these years. And the immigrants who come to this country are not necessarily Christian either. These immigrants who come from two-thirds of the majority world are already living under their own pharaohs. Pharaohs who do not know Joseph. They have been through persecution just for being Christians, God's people, God's covenant people. The United States is given an opportunity for holding up the flag of Jesus Christ as a testimony to them, not only for us who are already here, but those who are still coming to our shores as new immigrants. America's landscape has changed dramatically. The crosses and church steeples no longer dominate the skyline of the United States. Pagodas, temples, shrines, paganism, neo-paganism dominate our philosophy and culture. Where is God in all of this, we ask? Sure, there may be Bibles in our homes and public places, but few people read them or mark them or inwardly digest them. Even at seminaries, we read more about the Bible and around the Bible and read very little from the text of scriptures. There is a famine for scripture, and it is understanding as people led through it to salvation, there is that famine that lingers within our church and especially among Christians. America today is hit by the famine for the word. And this is not uncommon in the history of the church. Already in 1524, Dr. Martin Luther, our patriarch, mentioned this kind of famine of scripture within the church. Martin Luther wrote to his fellow Germans to recover the gospel in the church they worshipped. Luther said, God's word and grace are like a passing shower of rain that does not return to where it has once been. He said so bluntly, you Germans need to think that you have this opportunity. You Germans need not think that you Germans have this opportunity forever. That is the opportunity to witness to others Jesus as Savior and Lord. Therefore, seize and hold to it fast, for lazy hands are bound to have a lean year. Lazy hands are bound to have a lean year. Immigrants or not, those who have been here for hundreds of years or not, or newcomers, or just soon to be coming to our shores, we are custodians of the life-giving word that offers life and salvation to those who hear it. I have the privilege of being a teacher for the specific ministry program students. These men are already pastors, ordained, and also placed in ministry situations. Last week I met one student who is pastor of a church in California's Los Angeles suburbs. He has 59 members in his congregation and 14 different languages and cultures are represented in that Lutheran congregation. I met another pastor who lives and serves in the outskirts of Colorado, in a suburban place, and he has 99, and he keeps count of all the souls who come to worship. He has 99 baptized souls in the congregation, and they worship three times, Saturday evening and Sunday morning too. And 55 of them are Hispanics. It is time for us to remember that American landscape of people and religions has been dramatically changing, and we are no exception. God has placed us in such a time as this as Josephs of the 21st century, so we bring God's message of salvation to all those who come to us and amidst whom God is sending us, being sensitive to their life, their struggles under pharaohs, their slavery to spiritualities and unbecoming things that are not of human tradition. Our church today, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, is privileged to be the custodians and interpreters of the gospel in the proper and right way. We are privileged to be holding on to a tradition that literally reads, interprets, marks, and inwardly digests what Scripture has to say. And most of us are immigrants to this country for generations now. And new immigrants are coming to our doorsteps as well. It is time that we play our role as Josephs to this new immigrants and to this new culture that is surrounding us. It is our role and responsibility that we tell these newcomers that this is their church too. Come here and feel free and embrace the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which frees us from sin, death, and the devil. Tell them that God has sent us ahead of them. So this place is prepared for them as well as he had prepared this place for us to first come and make home for ourselves. God grant us this wisdom, this strength, and this energy to be Joseph of the 20th century and the 21st century. In the New Testament, we read of another Joseph who came, whom God appointed 2,000 years after the first Joseph we read in Genesis chapter 45. He had a dream. God spoke to him in a dream. Go find this virgin who is already with child. Go take care of him. And you will lead that family through a journey through Egypt, and you will return, and this child of God will be betrayed by his own people, his own siblings, his own people. But God will raise him up as the one and only Son of God who came to save the world from sin. So you shall name him Jesus. And that Jesus would be lifted up for the whole world to see. And by his death and resurrection, by his stripes, all people who believe in him will be blessed, and their wounds will be healed, and they will be restored God's presence to live with him in eternity. May we follow these saints. May we celebrate our salvation with these people, so we continue to be God's witnesses wherever he leads us. In the name of Jesus, amen.